Charlie and Seth. Wally and Daniel. On Cam FM.
Wow. What a start to the show, eh?
I know, huge. What song was that?
So that is Adelphi Music Factory, Javelin. It's a song that I've been trying to... They play it a lot on the radio.
Yeah.
Not on Cam FM, but on other radios.
And now on Cam FM.
I haven't had access to it because they don't have it on any streaming sites, but they've just released it.
Really?
After about 3 months. And I think it is the... one of the best like dance tracks of the year, basically.
Why is it like Javelin brackets calling out a name and then like you know, the other brackets weapons? Why are there that two sets of brackets going
because
on?
Because the song's so brilliant that it has to have that much going on with all the different brackets because it's such a fantastic show. It's got all the thing. It's got such a fantastic song. It's got all the things going on because this, for the record, the reason why I'm talking about this is because today the aim is to sort of play all our favourite songs of the past. Yeah, we've really, really liked. Charlie's got some bangers coming on. We've got some bangers. And we're going to, I think, today's show, because we've actually, this is an extra one, isn't it, Charlie? We're not supposed to be having this
show. Well, like, you know, it's not like we're illicitly broadcasting right now, but, you know, we've added an extra one on through popular demand. You were all messaging in all week, you know, like, oh, Charlie, you know, we really want another show. Can you do it without Samuel? And I said, no, Samuel has to come along.
Yeah.
And as a result, we're here.
Very good. And so what we thought we'd do one extra show, just for you who's listening right there, just for you. And we're going to play all our best songs. We'll talk about what's going to happen in the next year. And then also, as we always do for our last show of the term, we're also going to play The Weakest Link. If you haven't ever listened or watched The Weakest Link, it's going to be huge.
You're in for a treat.
You're in for a treat. It's a game that involves leaks, and it involves hitting, and it involves the noise of dull thuds going through the studio all through the day. Otherwise, I also got an art stuff to talk about. I went to see my brother's show yesterday.
Yeah.
Who's now in a new show. He's just joined a theatre school, so he was in a new show, and I want to talk about that and see how that's going. It's got a lot going on in the art section. And also, have you got an extreme sport as well for us this week?
I will find one in the next music break.
During this next
Which is conveniently 5 minutes long.
Fantastic. So we'll play along with that and then we'll come back to you afterwards. And message in if you're listening, so we can hear from you and let us know who you are, basically. And we'd love to hear... just message in, type in the little in the bit of the box, and then we can hear who's playing out. What have you got for us next, Charlie?
This is... one of the, he's kind of broken out a little bit in 2018. This is like his fifth album, but he had his first radio hit relatively recently. He's just released a new album, it's amazing. This is Kurt Vile.
3, 2, Charlie and Samuel.
On.
Cam FM.
Wow. That was spiritually awakening.
Someone says, interesting question they asked me, because this actually relates quite interestingly. It was a nice song, by the way. It was
Pretty Pimpin'.
Very different vibe what we had before. We were going for very sort of loud before, and now it's very, very quiet. So, yin and yang. Followed by a yang.
This show is nothing but a bit of yin and yang, isn't it?
It's true, yeah, exactly. Someone says, I'd like to know if Samuel recognises Christmas Day in any way. Eating turkey and watching the Queen at 3 p.m, for example?
Before you answer this question, Samuel... the wrong answer could be construed as treason.
Treason, yeah, could be. I do, obviously, being a subject of Her Majesty, I obviously watch the Queen at 3 o'clock. I do not eat turkey, though. Because at the moment, as you are aware, it's actually Merry Hanukkah to you. Merry Hanukkah. My dad actually got me a advent calendar for my first present for Hanukkah. Which is quite fantastic. Someone says they like that song as well, so it's all going on. But yeah, Hanukkah is right in the swing of things at the moment, lighting the candles and everything.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to completely change tack. I was going to try and link that in some way, but I absolutely can't. But do you get a big present for Hanukkah?
I do get a present for it.
Do you know what are you getting? Do you ask for it? Or is it surprise?
Well, no. The way they normally do it, because the whole point is supposed to get 8 presents for Hanukkah.
Yeah.
But what really happens is you get 7 really rubbish presents, and then 1 quite good present.
Yeah.
I don't know what I've asked for. I tell you what I did ask for.
Yeah, go on.
I asked for the 1975 album.
Did you actually?
Yeah, I asked for that. So that's hopefully
really?
What I'm
okay,
going to.
Cool.
Because I thought that's, you've got to get it in there. It's just come out. Have you listened to it?
Yeah, most of it. I'm going to see them in January.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah, it's quite exciting.
But I also want to talk about quickly, and people can message in if they relate in any way to what's going on. Because I've just come back from Cambridge. I was in London for the weekend, and I'll talk about that in a minute, later on as well. But I was in London for the weekend.
So sick of Cambridge.
And I've come back, and all these parents are here with their kids. I'm not like young kids. Kids who have come for interviews for the university interview situation. Someone says, play a Hanukkah song, Samuel. We'll do that later on in the show. Maybe. Unlikely. We did that last
week,
actually.
We
did last week. We missed it. Also, there aren't very many good Hanukkah songs like there are Christmas songs, unfortunately. But, yeah, so they all come for the interviews.
Yeah.
And you literally go to Cambridge at the moment. All these, like, nervous little kids with their mums are all walking around. I feel really bad. But do you
it's
remember it?
The mums, isn't it?
Do you remember
did
it?
Did you wear a suit?
I didn't wear a suit. I wore, like, a jumper and a shirt. Because like, I wore at school.
I saw these people wearing suits, and I really don't remember wearing a suit.
They were, I think a lot of the time they would say you worry about that sort of thing, but I wasn't. So I just turned up. I remember I didn't know there was a room that you can sit in between the interviews at the JCR. So I had about four coffees and sat in Cafe Nero between every single interview.
Really? Wow.
Other coffees were available.
In
yeah.
Churchill, they did not give us a waiting room.
Really?
Yeah. You sat on some chairs outside, like, this door, and then you were whisked from one to the other. And I was standing outside scary one of the rooms stuff. For, like, 20 minutes because they were, like, really slow.
How did your interviews go? Were they all right?
Awfully. I mean, they said, you've got no chance.
They did, and that's why you didn't get into Churchill. You came to Sydney instead.
No, I'm joking.
Okay.
I mean, it didn't go that badly, did it? Since I'm here broadcasting.
Hey, is it?
No, but actually, I did have an absolute horror story, like, when I was with Dr. Peter Sloman.
Ooh.
He subsequently lectured me, and I think he was quite surprised to see me here. And we were talking about the Tudors or something, and I got one of the historians, the complete, like, but there's like a famous historian, and there's like an interpretation of the Renaissance or something, like,
okay,
top down, bottom up. Right? The point is that I went for it was top down, and he goes, well, actually, and he talked a bit like that. Sorry, Dr. Sloman, and he was like, well, I was actually taught by the guy whose theory I was trying to quote, and he doesn't think that.
Oh,
and I was just sitting.
It's very hard. You can't really do anything. You sort of shut you down there. There's not much you can do with that.
You know, it was like, you know, like everyone tells this story about good cop and bad cop.
Yeah,
he was so the bad cop. Except my good cop was like asleep in the corner.
Oh, rubbish!
He looked like Father Christmas.
So you remember you told me that you'd heard of people. There's this woman in Sydney, a fellow who puts all their students in
the
a rocking chair.
Yeah.
That was me. That was actually me. They put me in a rocking chair in my last interview, and I was sat there.
Was it with this fellow?
Yes, this fellow. I don't know what her name was. I've never seen her since.
She's lovely. She took me around the Fitzwilliam, gave us like a private tour.
Well, she was just showing me. She kept asking me where all the different apostles went to.
Professor Rosamond McKittrick.
There we are. And she, just be careful of her, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever have an interview at Cambridge, don't sit in a rocking chair, because I didn't know whether to rock or not. Not to rock.
She said to me, like, it's so funny watching, like, interviewees, like, sitting in that rocking chair, like, they just...
What do they do? I'd be interested. Message in. If you were in the rocking chair at an interview, would you rock in the rocking chair?
Did you rock in the rocking chair?
Or I think I had a light rock when I got into it, but I think I rocked afterwards. I was too... No, it was also too big for me. It was very large.
Wait, why were you interviewed by a history fellow?
I don't know. I think she focuses on Roman history, so I think she was like...
Okay. So it was actually a bit weird. So we were clearing out Sydney Bar today in my capacity as staff manager.
It's the end of term. It's all going away.
And I was like standing outside the porter's room because there's like a builder and the head porter were like chatting in there and everyone was like standing outside. Mm-hmm. And I just asked this guy, like, you know, is there a reason we're standing out here? And he said, yes, I'm waiting for something. And I was like, oh, cool. That's probably, you know, I assumed he was like a Natsuka, an engineer, no social skills kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, have you finished? And I was like, yeah, haven't we all? Like, and he was like, oh, no, I don't think everyone has. And I was like, oh, well, maybe you're a scientist. You know, one of these weird people who got,
postgraduates.
What they're like, anyway, no, just turns out he was here for an interview.
But there we are. I mean, he clearly fits in enough that you didn't notice it.
The worst thing was he thought I was here for an interview as well.
Oh, that's not good. Someone says, I'd let the chair rock me.
Ooh.
Which is, I don't know what that means, but...
I mean, that's an interesting subversion of the question there.
It is. I think that's what happened to me. With a rocking chair, you want to rock the chair. If the chair's rocking you, then it's like a sign of, like...
Weakness,
lack of power.
Yeah.
But in any case...
And anyone who's met Sam will know.
Yeah.
He's drunk, sorry.
Anyway, I found this over the weekend. I thought we'd play it.
Can I just say, so far, right... Kurt Vile maybe a little bit, but he was quite a new discovery for me.
Yes.
Like, this hasn't been the greatest hits off, has it?
It has, because this is what, firstly, this combines two, it combines certainly one thing.
Yeah.
We both ended up playing a lot of this term.
Yeah, not Mumford and
Sons. Not Mumford and Sons, but it's Ariana Grande's. This is a cover, Mumford and Sons do a cover of Ariana Grande's.
Have you seen
songs.
The 1975 cover of Ariana Grande?
I actually haven't, I've seen it yet. We'll listen to that maybe later on, perhaps.
But
the point is that they're all doing covers of Ariana Grande because she is the woman of the moment. We've been playing her music basically week on week this entire term. And here,
can I just
think,
say the use of the word "we" is extremely generous. There,
we. Oh yeah, fine. Okay. Anyway, I like this a lot. This is Mumford and Sons cover. I'm from the Live Lounge of "Breathing" by Ariana Grande. I think it's
but
really nice
without the G. This is Charlie and Samuel. Yeah, that was alright actually.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it. Glad you liked it.
What was that?
That was Mumford & Sons in the live lounge doing a remix, doing their own version of Breathe and Bow Underground. The original song's also great. Also, yeah, he spoke about the sort of reasons for doing that song, and he said that, again, Ariana Grande is just huge at the moment. But also, that song, actually, if you listen to the lyrics, is quite a lot of emotion. Ariana Grande is a funny one.
It's very relatable, isn't it? Because, everyone has to breathe.
It's true. But without your cynicism, Ariana Grande, it's a funny one. Of all the sort of pop singers where you think it's quite superficial, she's actually been through a huge amount this year, what with the terrorist attack at her concert and everything, and also one of her ex-boyfriends committing suicide. So she's quite a unique position that
wherever she goes, death and misery seem to follow.
That's really, really horrible. I think personally that she's quite unique in being sort of a pop star, which actually is somewhat quite real in quite a strange way.
Do you know what?
Way.
She's actually got immense acting capabilities. She actually grew up Nickelodeon. I used to watch Victorious.
Oh, huge.
Absolutely amazing.
Huge. Also, she has just released her new video for the Thank You Next, which is what we played a while ago. And yeah, I think it's a very funny video, and it has
the music video for her song.
For her song.
Somebody's loving this. Great music choice, Samuel.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that.
Are you messaging in, or is this your mum?
That really isn't me messaging.
Shout out
in.
To Sharon Isaac bigging up Samuel.
Well, Sharon Isaac, if you're listening, we thought we'd now move on to what I would like for Hanukkah, please. Which is 1975, A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships.
By the way,
it's
Sharon,
a new album.
Sharon, if you need any, I can hit you up with it.
What?
I'm a dealer of the 1975's album.
Oh, okay. I don't know what you meant there. I'm really confused. Okay. Okay, so talk to me about this album, because you've listened to it a bit and I haven't yet. So what's
Have
going
you
on?
Not? No. Well, so this is their third studio album. So, but it's part of they initially envisaged a sort of trilogy of albums, which would kind of narrate sort of the progression of their lives from these kind of because they were a band for 10 years before they were signed.
In Manchester.
But anyway, that's slightly changed. And so they're releasing an album now, and they're releasing another album in March. So it's quite a quick turnover.
Yeah.
So there's a
song,
lot.
It's called Music for Cars.
Yeah. Well, that was the name of their first EP. So I think it's meant to kind of round off this era or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's really, really interesting, because I think both the first two albums have a clear sort of
vision.
Yeah, vision, vibe, sort of instrumentality to it. So the first album, they claim that it's one of these really funny things. They claim they're not a rock band, and that's the only type of music they don't write.
Yes.
I think that's a bit disingenuous. They also said their only guitar song is a song that I'm not sure I can say its name on air, but that's their only guitar song. It's not entirely true. Yeah. There is this kind of sort of, it's centered around guitars and there's riffs and it's sort of fairly angsty. That's the first album.
Yeah. I really love their first album. That
amazing, absolute classic.
All the riffs.
It's already a classic album. Mm-hmm. And then their second album, they basically discovered synths and just went mad, and they had choral music and jazz and all these kind of,
and also they developed a fan base that was very much around teenage girls, so they sort of had to sort of, a lot of their music you can see was centred around that. A lot of their big songs as well had that sort of vibe, but they weren't dealing, there were fewer songs that were explicitly about drugs than there were in the first one.
The funny thing is that that's the cliche, but if you go to their concerts, it's such a cross section of people. It's one of those things, again, it's like on social media, so on YouTube 80% of people who view, roughly speaking, are male.
Yes.
But then if you look at Twitter, I think there's it's not that quite stark, but it almost flips.
Really interesting.
And so that kind of social media lens is actually kind of distorts in many ways the kind of fan bases and things.
Yeah. Also the teenage girls are often the ones who are screaming the loudest and the ones.
Yeah, no, 100%.
So you get that. As well. And it makes sense, I guess.
And so
men like us who really like them just don't do that sort of thing, you know what I'm saying?
We're quite cool,
just chilled out, we like Matt Healy, he's a good looking boy.
Anyway, sorry, so this album specifically then.
So this is a really interesting sort of fusion. So you've got songs, I think some of the best stuff they've ever done, songs like Love It If We Made It, which is almost like a brilliant fusion of both of those concepts.
Yeah.
What it does is it takes that kind of the rocky energy of that first album, but strips it back and doesn't use a guitar, I think, barely at all. And it's almost like drum and bass, and they bring a synth at one point, and it's so, so powerful. So musically there's an interesting combination. And Two Time is the exact opposite. It's the second album amped up,
so with poppy an
edge. It's so
them.
Poppy, it transcends pop.
Yeah, it's still them, and it's, and again, because it's them doing it, and you'd never expect that from them when I first heard it. Sort of, any other band to do exactly the same song would be very different, but because they're doing it, it has a very different feel to it.
Yeah.
And they manage something quite different with it.
And it's one of those things, they have that variety. Often they say the first album, the second album, all the songs sound relatively similar within those albums, but they do have, and there's a song called Milk, which wasn't on any of their albums, but is amazing, and it's kind of like their first album vibe, but I think even better.
Yeah.
Like, they do have, they are really like diverse musicians.
They are.
So anyway, so that's the sort of, if you like, musicality. I mean, there's a few kind of missed notes in my view, like the song Sincerity and Scary is like a sort of a second rate copy of the sound.
Really?
Clever lyrics, but apparently the music video is amazing, by the way.
Apparently there's, I saw that with him dancing.
His dance moves are so, I need to like learn that.
Apparently there's a song that's sung by Siri. That's what I heard.
Yeah, yeah, there's a whole thing where like it just gets serious to like narrate something. There's also a lot of like instrumental tracks, which is what he did, my vibe. But
they did that a lot on the first album, and I like that sort of thing.
So yeah, and their live concerts, they really make that a big deal. And I have to say, it's really, really cool and atmospheric.
It's very atmospheric.
But the actual kind of context of the album is quite interesting as well. So Matt Healy has, pardon me, sorry, I just kind of burped
live
on air.
Oh dear, that's not
sorry,
nice.
Man.
Carry on. Stop. Let's not drill on it. Move on. Yeah, yeah.
I want to talk about my burping.
No. Okay, keep going. I don't mind.
And I'm talking about the album, dude.
Yeah.
Right, so you completely throw me now. This is so
it's all right. We got
wait. I've got it.
Fine, yeah.
I've got it. Right. So the really interesting thing about like the context is like, so Matt Healy's kicked a drug habit. So like the song "It's Not Living If It's Not With You" is about his addiction to heroin.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, it's somebody said like this is Matt Healy like really focused, kind of like conceptually on music for the first time. But I mean there's so much kind of creative energy that have emerged out of this real kind of like struggle that he's had to like make sense of his life and come to terms with fame, which is obviously like a huge rock cliche, like in many ways he is, but actually I think it's quite cool.
I think, and that's the thing, so when I first listened to it, "It's Not Living If It's Not With You," I actually thought it was about a woman, and then you only realise later on that it's, you know, it's probably me and my naivety, but there's a sense in which he's able to do that
talk
as
about
a band.
Drugs and women,
but in a sense it's sort of, there is sort of a dual aspect to it, and it's a great pop song, a great love song, and it also sort of has that huge irony in it, and I love it. We love the irony.
Yeah.
That's what's
kind of that,
I think,
that layered texture.
It's got that layered texture, and it's really, really nice. So this is what we're gonna play now. We're gonna play our favourite song.
This is our favourite song, Two Time.
Someone's messaging saying play some Hamilton. We might do that later on, but not now. Now it's for the 1970.
Charlie and Seth. Wally and Cam FM.
What was that, please?
That was Pale Waves covering Taylor Swift's 22.
What do you think?
Like, you know what, right? They are so talented and they can do more than that. Do you know what I mean?
I agree with you. I think, like, we've had two covers today already, and I think you can see Mumford & Sons do it well, where, like, they take the... Well, no, because they take Breathin', which is a great song by Ariana Grande, but they really made it their own. In this case, they basically... What that was not a cover. That was just karaoke. What just happened? in the nicest way, that was just a karaoke performance by Pale Waves. Which I think is a fair thing to say. But we're moving on. We're moving on swiftly.
Yeah, yeah.
What we're doing now? We're doing this. Our
extreme sports.
You're going to play the bit.
Have we got a bit? Of course
bit.
We do. Can you just fill for like?
I'll fill
two
for
30,
2 minutes once he gets the bit. But
Simon, what did you have for breakfast today?
I'm not doing that. But no. So back to what I was saying though. Previous weeks, every week in the show, I'll give a bit of an introduction to this.
Is it Wimbledon?
Pardon? It's Wimbledon. Oh dear. Every week in the show, Charlie presents us with an extreme sport. I'm normally on the deck, so I make sure that we have the right music up. But it's okay for the moment. Charlie's got the right. You got the right thing up now. Oh, blew my neck.
Sorry, my bad.
Can you listen to headphones? I'm really sorry about that.
I'm so sorry.
It's a little bit loud there. Sports.
Welcome to the sports section. No, we're doing it. Sports.
It's cool. Every week, Charlie Walton presents us with an extreme sport. Charlie, what have you got for us this week?
Extreme radio beds.
No, that's a joke, sorry. That's really funny.
I thought that was quite clever. No, this week is a bit of a cliche one, but we haven't done it, and it's important to do. It's the Ironman Triathlon.
Ooh. I've actually got a friend who's wanted to do one of those.
Really?
Well, I think he wants to do a half one, but I'm not a whole
half one. Oh, come on, that's not Iron Man. That's like
half.
That's like Bronze Man.
That's Bronze Man.
Yeah. My dad talked about doing one of these, but I don't think he likes swimming very much because he can do the cycling and the running. It's absolutely crazy, though. Like,
what does it involve then?
So it involves an Iron Man triathlon. That's its full name. That kind of gives away a little bit. Is a series. You do three things. You run a marathon, you swim 112 miles. And then you, like, cycle 180 kilometres.
That's...
I'm sorry for mixing my metrics.
And I can't even run a marathon. And they're doing that, like, the equivalent of basically three marathons.
And back-to-back-to-back, right.
You have to get it done. Is it
you
like
have to do it within 17 hours.
17 hours?
Yeah.
Not like... Isn't it like 24 hours?
No.
Really, no.
Most, I mean, it varies a little bit, but most are 17 hours. Because the point is that otherwise, you know, you're just having breaks between, aren't you?
That's so true. I think that's a... So you're not supposed to have a break in between each of the ones.
So the point is, so, I mean, you literally go straight. So often, they very often start at 7 in the morning, and then they have, like, cut-off time. So the mandatory swim cut-off time...
Do they eat
for example,
whilst they're doing it?
I think they will definitely have gel packs and like
things. Oh my
things.
Goodness.
You have to like, but as you're running or as you're doing, like, they have that at marathons.
I remember I was in Frankfurt, doing interrailing in Frankfurt actually.
You sound like such a posh boy.
And when I was in Frankfurt, actually, because anyone will know that if you actually go interrailing, you don't go to Frankfurt. That's how much I know what I was doing. Frankfurt's rubbish for that sort of thing. When I went there, they had it, they were all getting ready to do it right then and there. They were all doing the, they were doing one like there in the main square, so we were staying in a place. And there was someone else cooking next to us.
They were doing a triathlon,
they were doing an Ironman.
Oh wow!
They were also wearing Ironman t-shirts and stuff. I think it's a bit of a cult, but they're really into it.
Yeah.
It's a big thing. So, I mean, would you do it? I don't know.
Absolutely not. Never. But interestingly, so the name Ironman Triathlon came from the Ironman. Well, it's now the Ironman World Championship. There's an actual championship they do every year. It's held in Hawaii annually since 1978.
It's about as hard as stuff can actually get ever. Do you think?
I mean, yes and no. There is an extreme Ironman, and I think that's involved.
Like, extreme Ironman.
Yeah, like there are so many like layers of this.
Oh my goodness.
And there's so many different things. And I mean, nowadays it's like a huge like multi-million pound sort of thing. They kind of cover it and stuff. I'll show you some of the records, right? So the full Ironman, the fastest time it's ever been completed, is 7 hours and 35 minutes.
That's crazy.
So that breaks down as, and I'm going to try and decipher that's, this. So that they ran a marathon in 2 hours and 39 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
Which is not far off what my dad did. They did the bike ride in 4 hours and 8 minutes. And they did the swim in 45 minutes.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. That's the male record. The female record is 8 hours and 18 minutes.
That's still like and actually, that's less than an hour in between two.
You know what? The really interesting thing is that the swim was only 49 seconds, so not far off the male one. And I think the marathon's
what was the difference?
And the marathon's only 2 hours 44.
So the only difference
is the cycling, which was the big
held
difference.
Held her up a little bit.
80 minutes, but that's interesting in terms of biologically. I guess men might have.
Oh, I don't know. I don't buy it. I think soon enough they'll basically all be the same. If you ask me.
Well, actually, there's a really good TED talk on this if you like follow it up on YouTube about are athletes really getting faster. Apparently, we're just getting better at measuring.
Really?
Yeah. So like, and also we're able to like, obviously we know the science behind warming up and like how to like artificially grow certain kinds of muscles. So for example, like 100 meter sprinters never used to do weights because they thought, I just need to run quickly, I just need to do leg work. Actually, you need a lot of upper body strength, and that's
why
Usain Bolt would spend I think about a quarter of his time doing weights in the gym.
That's so random. Wow. So it's all sports science really is a huge industry, and that's what's really making it up. I don't know, when was the first one of these done then? How long ago?
Well, the first world championship was in Hawaii in 1978. I mean, there's been all sorts of attempts to do these like crazy lengths like prior to that, but the first sort of Ironman triathlon, as it was called, is 1978.
Well,
actually, it should be Iron People, shouldn't it?
It's true.
There we go.
Correct that, please. If you'd like to message in the show, if you'd like to do an Ironman, we can get you in touch with someone, or we can do it with you for the next time. Otherwise, thank you for listening to the sports section.
Sports. It's throwback time. That was Busted with 90s.
Anyway, we're now moving on. Welcome to the news. You're listening to Charlie and Samuel. We're getting serious for the last time. So we thought we'd do last time 2018.
Yeah.
What a year it's been, Charlie Wilson.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. What's been going on in the news? Let's discuss. What, at the beginning of this year, what did we think was going to happen? Has anything actually happened this year?
There was something about breakfast.
Breakfast or Brexit?
Brexit.
Wow. So this was the year that Boris Johnson quit secretary of whatever it was he was. Foreign secretary, I think he was, and he quit for that. Handing out cups of tea left, right and centre.
Basically, this was actually the year when something did sort of maybe happen with Brexit.
Yeah, but it was, again, there was not one specific event that sort of happened that changed everything. A lot of small things, the Chequers deal came together and aspects of different things happened, but
a lot of people
today
quit.
Is the big deal. We are going to find out whether or not Brexit is going to be passed in only about 9 days' time now. They're going to have the vote on Brexit. It's on the 11th, I believe. And we're going to find out whether or not it's passed. So what we thought we'd do here on Charlie and Samuel Show, with every great political event, we have to get a prediction.
Yeah.
And we like to predict things in the best way we can, Charlie. And what way is that?
So, we battle Two leaks. They hit each other until one breaks.
These two leaks, there's the People's Leak, okay? People's Leak, which is the leak that wants to stay in the European Union. And there is the leak that believes in Britain, which is the leak that that's trying to leave.
Okay? I have to say, we have a remarkably high success rate. I think it's 50-50. I think we predicted Theresa May would win
this election, which she did.
Yeah.
I think
Jeremy Corbyn was going to win.
Oh, really? Anyway, in any case.
Go back and watch the Facebook
video. We're going to play a song, and then we're going to get onto Facebook Live, if you're any of our friends.
And we're going to definitively prove which side will ultimately triumph in this Titanic struggle.
In the weakest leak. Join in. Join us in about 2 minutes. Two and a half. See you then.
We're back live on radio and Facebook Live now.
I'm Facebook Live now. On both things. We've got our leaks in hand, which is very exciting.
That was Hello Hello by Fickle Friends. One of the greatest songs of the year.
Yes.
Check it out.
Huge. We're about to go and see who will win for the final time of 2018. Who will win the Brexit debate? The long-awaited Brexit debate.
For those of you who are not watching on Facebook Live, I am taking the Brexit leak.
Yes, and I've got the leak that believes in the People's Leak. For Britain. Okay, so we're gonna have three hits each of each other's leak, and whichever leak standing at the end of it will win. Please message in to see which one you would like to win and which leak you're backing in this fantastic championship. Another game of the weakest leak. Right, Charlie, I'm gonna go first.
Okay, because he always loses, so this is an interesting one.
Okay, ready?
Samuel's lining up.
3, 2, 1, go. Right, first one. He's got to have his hands, but it was quite intense leaking.
I just had a face full of leak.
You've got splats of leak juice
what
in your
have you,
face.
What have you done for these leaks?
Okay. Still solid, right?
Here we go.
Quickly, hurry up. Oh, gosh. You've broken your own leak. The Brexit leak with only one leak going.
It literally imploded under its own strength.
Trying to break the People's Leak. The Brexit leak itself is broken. Make of that what you will. It's been Facebook Live, the Charlie and Samuel show. Thank you for putting up with our ridiculousness. We've got you sort of something else like that. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you soon. Fantastic stuff.
So there we go.
Finish that.
That was a very brief Weakest Leak episode. But the People's Leak will triumph. Samuel, who do you think will triumph in real life?
I think the Brexit Leak will definitely not work.
The Brexit Leak will not work. There we go. That's the definitive conclusion from the Charlie and Samuel show. We're going to try and find a quote of the day or something. While in the meantime, we will play for you another song. This is Johnny Marr.
This is Charlie and Samuel.
That was Johnny Marr, Hi Hello, another one of the standout albums of the year. Sorry, Samuel, we had to cut that short because...
It's quite the day. Thank you for tuning in, by the way, with the leaks. It all got a bit manic, but we did it in the end. I think it was okay.
I think, you know, if you're a vegetarian, maybe don't watch that, though.
Yeah, it's true.
And also, you broke my winning streak.
I did. I'm sorry to hear that, but do you know what? I think my leak was actually a bit bigger than yours, so maybe that was what it was all about. Okay, final quote of the day today comes from Andy Warhol, who says thus... I am a deeply superficial person.
That sums up the Charlie and Samuel show for
very,
the entire
well.
Year.
Some we've done for the past 2 years. Hope to be back in January in a new year after Christmas. So I guess what we've got to do is wish everyone
Happy Hanukkah, Happy Christmas,
and a happy
New Year.